Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to join with you in another service. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you have tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. And others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, and I welcome you as well. Those of you that's tuned in by the way of my website, that's the way we have to get to me right now until they get my other things fixed up on Sermon Cloud. But you just go to Pastor Ken Harger. And then when you get on my website, you go to storages for the radio broadcast. And there I have some messages saved up there for you to listen to at any time you so desire. You can just click on it and you can hear it, or else you can download it if you know how to do that and you can put it on something that you have. I need to say thank you to those that helped with the financial cost of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Court Warner, Premium Truck and Auto, located east of Belding on M44, the north side of the road, complete truck and auto repair. A big thank you to Marion Rivard. Marion lives in Dalton, Tennessee, and she's sharing this cost of the broadcast in memory of her husband, Fran. To Gay London, and living in Greenville, in memory of in honor of her husband, Dave. And to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, thank you to each one for your financial support. A thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting the music for this morning. We're just glad to be that she's able to do that for us. I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastor. I still attend there. And in Shiloh, the weekend of worship, as we call it, starts Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, located at the old Lutheran Church on North M91 up by the new McDonald's, is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So we welcome you to any of those services that you might want to attend. And I just appreciate so much your kindness to us and your blessing upon the ministry that we have here on the radio broadcast. Well, as we get ready for this morning, our message today is going to be leaning us towards Thanksgiving, which doesn't seem possible, but it's coming up this weekend. This week, Thursday, will be Thanksgiving Day, and so we'll be talking about Thanksgiving, and I'm going to do the idea that Thanksgiving is sharing some things with us that God wants us to know. And I just think it would be such a blessing for us to be grateful and thankful to Him for all that He does for each one of us. To kind of get us started for our program this morning, though, we got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is reminding that God saw my need, the difficulties of my life, and what I was going through as an individual, and that I needed His support and I needed His strength in order for me to continue on. And so we'll listen to this song, and I'll be right back. And we'll share the message with you for today, looking forward to God's blessing upon our time.
I grew up reciting Bible verses, committing everyone to memory. But like Nicodemus when he met the teacher, I could finally see the Pharisee in me. I have always believed I believed in the right things to do and to say. But like Paul, I was traveling and blinded till I saw the life, the truth, and the way. In the darkness, God saw my need, saw my sorrow, my lust, and my greed. Just one touch of His hand, I was free. Darkness, God saw my need. I could name you every book in the Bible, and I knew all the pretty words it took to pray. But like Zacchaeus, I was short on things that mattered, till the Lord stopped in at my house one day. It's a thin, thin line between a good man and one who knows he's been saved. Like Lazarus, I'm now a friend of Jesus, and this body's all I'm taking to the grave. In the darkness, God saw my need, saw my sorrow, my lust, and my greed. Just one touch of his hand, I was free. In my darkness, God saw my need. Sorrow, my lust, and my grief. Just one touch of his hand, I was free. In my darkness, God saw my need. In my darkness, God saw my need.
What a nice song we have to start with this morning. In my darkness, God saw my need. You know, he was talking about he had done a lot of things that was religious, but he hadn't really come to an understanding of who Jesus was and what Jesus had done for him as an individual. And it's very easy for us to have a form of religion, but denying the power thereof. And God wants us to know that that power is for each one of us. And as we go to a time in prayer and get ready for our Thanksgiving message for this morning, I want to remember once again the listening audience that God's blessing would be upon you in a very special way this week. And I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for your family. So, Father, as we come into your presence, we think of this being the Thanksgiving holiday time, when we gather together with family and friends. So I want to pray at this time for the listening audience. Father, there's some families when they gather together, it's just going to be a beautiful time. It's going to be a time when they've been looking forward to a big meal and sharing a day with one another and having good times and building some memories. And Father, that's wonderful when that happens, and we want it to be that way for many of our listening audience. But then there's some other families in the listening audience, Father, that there's some kind of a strife between the children or the parent and the child or whatever is going on, that this Thanksgiving Day, there's going to be a lot of difficulty because maybe some of them aren't coming home and some of them aren't going to gather together with their family for this Thanksgiving weekend. And so I just pray your special blessing upon those needy families, that you would minister to them in a very special way. Some of them are just older people and they're just lonely and discouraged because maybe their children don't come around very much. And so, Father, we ask your hand of blessing to be upon them and your comfort and your encouragement. Father, we do have a lot to be grateful for you, to you for, because you have been so good to each one of us. And Father, we want to give you thanks for your goodness to us. Your goodness leads us to a place of repentance and causes us to realize that we don't really deserve anything from you, but we're so grateful that you have given to each and every one of us. So Father, today we're going to talk about the idea of having plenty and then having not enough to go around. And I just pray this morning you'd take this message and use it to cause us to realize we have a whole lot more to be grateful and thankful for than we realize. So speak to our hearts now. Come and honor your word, I pray, in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving. Some thoughts about Thanksgiving. First, I want to share the need to learn to be content. That's a lesson that all of us needs to learn. And I love the way Paul shared it when he was thankful for a love gift that he had received from another church that sent him a love gift. They had tried to do it before, but they were unable to do it. And Paul, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 14, is thanking that church and just has a message not only for them, but he has a message for us and a lesson that each one of us needs to learn. So first of all, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me indeed. You were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Now that I am referring to as being, not that I'm referring to as being in need, for I have learned, now here we go, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. Now here's the way we know how to do this. I know what it is to have very little. I know what it is to have plenty. And in any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and being in a need. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this because I can do it through the courage that he gives in any kind of distress that I find myself in. I can realize that he cares about that and wants to help me in what I'm going through. With that thought in mind, let's think about it for just a few moments. The idea of learning to be content. Content no matter what the circumstance is. This is a very great lesson to learn as a child of God. But notice how he had learned it. It was through the circumstances of his life, the things that he had went through. He says, I know what it is to have just a little. I think what he's really saying, I know what it is like to go to bed hungry. I've been in that circumstance in my life. I believe also he goes on to say, I know what it is. I've had time when I had some plenty. I had some leftovers. I had some little extra money, so to speak. And that was those times that I was learning, that it was going to help me to learn this idea. And he says, this is what he calls, I love that he calls it a secret. In all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed, or the secret of being hungry, of having plenty, or of being in need. I personally think that the time of plenty is much more dangerous than the time of need. May I say that again? I personally believe that the time of plenty is much more dangerous than being in need. When we're in need, we reach out to God through prayer. We reach out to God through the idea of that we need his help and his assistance. But it's very easy when we got more than we need to kind of think that's kind of good. That's kind of what we've been able to do. And maybe just not need God quite as much. You might ask, Pastor, what is the secret that Paul learned? And the secret that he learned was, I can do all things through Christ. I can go through a difficult time in my life when I haven't had near what I needed just to get by. And I can say to you, I've been there before. I believe most of the listening audience can say, I've been there before. You know what I've noticed in my life? That if you go through a time when you're really in need, then when your needs are met, you appreciate it a whole lot more. I've had times, too, when there's plenty, but we recognize that we need God, regardless of what we're going through in our life. We need him, and he's saying, I can do all of these through the strength that Christ gives me. I came across this statement. It says, contentment is a great blessing because it makes joy and peace possible, regardless of the circumstances at that moment in your life. And that's why we need. Now, I think I'm talking to a group of people under the hearing of my voice this morning. You've been in those positions. You've had plenty to eat, and you've been very hungry. As a kid growing up, we had times that we went to bed hungry. Sometimes we had times when we went to bed hungry because we didn't like whatever we had for supper. And in our days, in those day and age, it was a one-dish meal. If you don't like what's being served today, then you wait till the next meal and then see if you like that. But we need to realize that going through some tough times can help us to recognize that we need God's help and his strength. There's a portion of scripture that I really like in the book of 2 Kings. It's chapter 7, one of my favorite stories. The city of Jerusalem was under siege by an army that came against them. In those days, they made big, wide walls around the city so they could be secure, and they were very secure. But the problem was there's no new supplies coming in. Oh, in the city, they would have supplies for X number of days, and this army knew that, so they were camped outside of Jerusalem. And they were just waiting for them to get hungrier and hungrier, nothing coming in, and pretty soon the food would be gone. And then they could march against that city, and they could conquer the city of Jerusalem. And then the prophet for that day was Elisha. And Elisha came to the people, and he said, "Now, I want to teach you something. About this time from tomorrow, everything is going to change. There'll be more food than you'll be able to use. By this time tomorrow, food will be really cheap. And by this time tomorrow, you all will have all that you've ever wanted to have as far as food to eat. You're not going to starve to death. In the meantime," and I always like those things in the Bible where it's in the meantime, "outside of the city walls was four men, and they had a terrible disease of leprosy. And they're going to teach us as we read about their terrible disease they had, and it was outside the city. And, you know, they probably couldn't have been in the city anyway because of the fact that they were lepers. It was a dreaded disease. It was a very contagious disease. And all through the Bible, it's a picture of sin and how sin gets a hold of our life. And these four men were sitting outside of the city, and they had this terrible disease. They said to one another, 'Why do we sit here until we die? A time of hunger is in the city. So if we were able to go into the city, we would sooner or later die, because there's not going to be enough food. If we stay here, just sit along outside the wall here, we're going to die too. So let's go to the camp of the enemy, and let's throw ourselves upon their mercy. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. But if they spare us, we shall have the gift of life.' These four men were in great need. They were going to die no matter what was going to happen. And the disease wasn't what's going to kill them, but starvation was what's going to kill them because of no food. I believe one of the best ways to learn how to share is when you've experienced a time in your life when you were in great need, not knowing which way to go, not knowing what to do next. That's where these men found themselves. It is even worse than saying between a rock and a hard place. This is if we learn not to curse our conditions." Have you noticed many times people curse their condition? I heard a man say that the other day, "If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all." Sometimes we can get down on the things that's happening in our life. But to use God, the gift of ability to reason. These men are reasoning within themselves. Let's think about this. If we stay here and do nothing, we're going to die. If we go into the city, they're going to be without food too, so we're going to die. So about the only option we have is to throw ourselves on the mercy of the enemy and see if they spare us. And the bottom line is, if they don't, we're going to die anyway. So that's what they decided to do. They decided that they was going to do this to bring about some kind of resolution for their own individual life. And I think it's so important to realize that this is the place that sometimes each one of us comes to in our individual life. There's a verse in the book of Jeremiah that says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." I can show some things that you think is the way it is, and it's not the way it is. I can show you some things that's going to teach you a little better way of living. And that's what these men were just about to learn. as they got up from where they were seated and leaning against the wall, and they decided that they was going to throw themselves on the mercy of the Lord and see what was going to happen. These four men decided, we'll turn ourselves over to the enemy, and if they spare us, we will live. Listen to what it says in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 4 through 8. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians, they said. If they spare our lives, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die. So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the enemy. Well, when they came to the edge of the camp, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made an army of the Syrians to hear a sound of chariots and of horses and the sound of a great army coming, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites or the Egyptians or somebody, and they're coming against us. So they fled away in twilight. And they abandoned their tents, they abandoned their horses, they abandoned their donkeys. They left the camp, and they left everything that they had in the camp were there, and they fled for their lives. And when the lepers came into the edge of the camp, they went into one tent, and they ate and they drank. Then they came back and entered another tent, and they carried things from that tent, and they went and hid it. The first thing we must learn, that God is God of us, whether we're in a time of need or whether we're in a time of plenty. And God is work in both of those times of your life and mine. He's working behind the scenes. The lesson we need to learn is to be content in those times of plenty and to be content in those times when we have very little, because we know that God is at work in both of those times in our life. And as he is at work in our lives, as he was in the case of these four men, something's going to happen that they didn't know about. And there it was, just a few hundred yards away. There was all the food they could possibly eat. There was treasures that they never had laid their eyes upon. And they took and they ate until they couldn't eat no more. They're full as full could be. They've taken things out of the tent and they've hid them so they can come back and get them a little later. I have already said, and I believe it's true, the times of plenty are more dangerous than the times of need, because too often we respond as these men did. We respond with greed. If I got this much, I want a little more. And as these men did, they took and hid some things to come back and get it later. When you have more than you need, there's a tendency to want to get just a little more. This is what happens with riches, as we never satisfied. We want just a little more. And I love it in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 6th verse. Do not forget to do good, and do not forget to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God gives us things, folks, not just to hang on to, but he gives us things to share. He wants us to be a people that is willing to share. And I believe Thanksgiving is a time that you and I need to be willing to share. And you know, there's some things that can happen in sharing that will never happen in any other way. You can get some blessings into your life that you would never receive in any other way. I'm at this point right now in the message when I'm thinking, what are these guys going to do? You know, you can eat only so much. You can only hide so many things. And this is a big army. There's lots of tents there. But I'm wondering, what are they going to do? I remember one time driving north on 66. A deer had been hit by a car, and the deer laid alongside of the road. About the time I got there, there was a bunch of crows that was coming to investigate their dinner or supper or whatever time of the day it was. And there was one crow that landed there first, and he pecked away at the body of that deer for a few moments, and all of a sudden there were some more crows there. and that crow tried to chase the rest of the crows away. I kind of smiled and I laughed halfway down the highway thinking, you know, how does that crow think he's going to eat that entire deer? There's a time when you can't, there's so much plenty that you cannot do it. And yet that deer, that crow rather, was thinking he wanted that all for himself. And he was trying to keep the rest of the crows away. So often I think you and I act some of the same kind of way. We got to listen to a song now to give me just a little break, and we'll come right back and finish our service time together. But you know something? This says, you know, you need to cast your bread upon the water. Sometimes it is in letting go that it comes back even greater. Sometimes it's when you're willing to share that God is willing to show you he can do things in your life that you didn't think was possible because you were willing to share. So let's listen to this song, and I'll be right back after the song is over and share some more of the message. I'm wondering, what are those guys going to do? Are they thinking they're going to eat all of that food themselves? I hope not. Follow with me in just a few minutes. That's what we need to do. That's the way the Lord Jesus taught it one time when he was talking about this very same thing. He said, how you measure it out is how it'll be measured back to you. Even when he's talking about seed time, he said, if you sow sparingly, you got to expect that you're just going to receive a little crop. But if you spare in abundance, your crop can be in abundance. He's reminding us, Thanksgiving is saying we're willing to share. Well, I wonder about these four guys. They've got some stuff hid away. Their tummies are so full they can't eat another bite. And there's still so much stuff there, they've only went in a few tents. And there's many hundreds of tents there. And all of a sudden, they have one of those moments. I call them a wait-a-minute moment. When all of a sudden, you ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? When they recognize it is not good, they said, for us to think only of ourselves and not of others. When you have an attitude of appreciation, you want it to allow you to not be selfish. You want to share. After they'd eaten so much and they drank all they could drink, and they had hid a whole lot of treasures, they were like the children in a candy store, in a toy store, bouncing from one thing to the next. And suddenly there came unto themselves one of these things that I call wait a minute moment. And they said to themselves in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 9, then they said to one another, what are we doing? We are not doing right. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, punishment will take over us. Now therefore come, and let us go to the king's household. So they came and they called the king's gatekeeper of the city and told them, we came to the camp of the enemy, and behold, there's no one there. They left, and they left everything behind. There's nothing but horses tied and donkeys are there, and their tents are full of all kinds of food and treasures. They said, we need to let you know that. You know, when they first heard that, the gatekeepers, they went and told the king, but he thought, what's a trick? They just pulled away a little ways, and when we come out, then they're going to kill us. But the story goes on, and we won't spend much time with that. But after a while, they sent some men out to see what was it about. And sure enough, you know what? Those men had run so scared because God had chased them away, so to speak, that for many miles there, as they rode along ahead of where these men had left, there were shirts and things laying everywhere because they kept kind of run as fast as they possibly could. They were that scared. And there was food. There was a great amount of food. And just as Elijah the prophet had said earlier, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be more than you can eat. And there surely was. For the whole city of Jerusalem was spared. Now, we need to appreciate what God has done for us. And we need not keep it to ourselves. I love it when they said, this is good news. This is good news. From all that I have learned in life, I love it that I've learned that when you share what you have, when you share something you enjoy and you really appreciate it, when you share it with somebody else, you even appreciate it more. I'm so glad that these four men came to the conclusion, we're not doing right if we do not share this good news. This was that moment of good news that these four men were able to bring to the city that was going to spare an entire city. The gatekeeper doesn't understand it. The king doesn't understand it. But God had been at work. God was at work even though these four men sat out there. They think they're going to die. And yet all of a sudden, God's been at work and caused the enemy to run away. And God has things for them they never expected they would have. I love the way Jesus taught that when he said, you know, as you measure it out, it'll be measured out to you. But then he said, you know what? You can never outgive God. If you give to God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give it back, and it's going to be shaken together. It's going to be pressed down, and it's going to be running over. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 4, for the Lord your God is who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. And he had done that for those people of that period of time. I wonder how many victories he's given me. I wonder how many victories he's given you that we haven't come to the point yet of claiming those victories. I want to shift gears for just a moment. I want to think now of the idea of not only sharing the things that you have, but in Psalm number 95, God shares some things with us. And what I want us to consider now for the rest of the time that we have left is the realization that God is reminding us that He has really blessed us. And when we remind ourselves who it is that has done this for us, in Psalm 93, we can be thankful for the power of God. We can be thankful for the plans of God. We can be thankful for the presence of God. Let me do that again. We can be thankful to God for the power of Himself, the power of God. We can be thankful for the plans of God. He had this all worked out for them and they didn't even know it. We can be thankful for the presence of God. Listen to what he says in Psalm 95, verses 1 through 8. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's come into his presence with thanksgiving. I love that. Let's come into the presence of God with a thankful heart. Now, some of you can sing and sing really well. I got to tell you, that wasn't one of the gifts that God gave to me, singing. I love and I enjoy singing. But I am not good at it, and I don't claim to be. But I can do what the other part was. He said, come in his presence with singing, or come into his presence with a joyful noise. I can make the joyful noise to the Lord. You know, he created a sparrow as well as he did the canary. And you know, you and I need to learn there's some things we can't do very well. But I got to tell you, what he's telling us to do next, every single one of us can do. We can look into our life and we can come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him, the songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And the dry land was his. Hands formed it. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Here's the bottom line now that we're coming to. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. And we are the sheep of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice and do not harden your hearts. That's what God's asking us to do. You understand in this, he's saying, come before him with thanksgiving. I think this Thanksgiving weekend, as we think of Thanksgiving, I think we need to remind ourselves of the things that we got to be grateful for. And when we come into his presence in our prayers through the week, if we just pray, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for this. And that thanksgiving is something he wants us to know and to do. I love the way he says it. Bow before the Lord your Maker. Let us kneel down before the Lord our Maker. The invitation is given to come and sing, and you cannot sing, but you can make a joyful noise. The thanks is our good. The thanks comes to our great God, this great Creator. We have everything to enjoy on this planet Earth that He's made for us. As we think of this creation, it should develop in us a habit of thanking God not only for the words, by words of thanksgiving, but as we enjoy what He has created. When we receive something on a regular basis, even if it's a gift, we come to expect it. In our world, we see this creates what is called so many times in our generation, entitlement mindset. But we must remember, with God giving to us, we must never come to the think that we are entitled, that God should do this for us, because we don't deserve anything from God. Instead, I like the thought Let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker and say thank you. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you. I love what God shared with us about our relationship with Him and His relationship with us. He says, you know what? You're my people. God's not ashamed to call us His people. He says, you're my people. You know something else He says? You're the sheep of my pasture. You're my own personal sheep. The sheep of my hand, He says. Just like He created the world. And He holds the world together. He's reminding us, you're my people. I'm your God. That gives us something to say thank you about. Oh, come and let us bow down and worship at Him. Because He's our God. And we are His people. Because we are His sheep. And He's the shepherd. We should be not only saying thanks, I believe we should be living thanks. And I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but I can surely tell you this because it's surely true. When life gives you more than you can stand, you know what we ought to do? Kneel before Him. Kneel before Him. God is reminding us that He's the great God. And that's something for us to know. That's something for us to understand. There's a reason God is saying this to us, because that's not the rest of the story. There's still more of this story to come in that Psalm 95. He's teaching us to look upward. And now He's going to teach us to look outward. Look at your life. Look what you have. Look what God has done for you. Did you hear the story about the little boy who a nice man gave him an orange? And when a nice man gave him his orange, the mother asked her son, what do you say to this nice man for giving you the orange? And the little boy thought for a moment, and he handed it back to the man that gave it to him. And he simply said this, would you peel it? Would you peel it? I tell you, folks, that's a dangerous place to find yourself. That you want everything just handed to you. And you know, he wasn't grateful for the orange. He wanted it peeled. I remember one time when one of the families was working in mission work, and they asked us if we would be praying as a church, that they was working in a kids' camp, and they needed some chickens. And they said it was low on meat, and so they needed some chickens. And so they asked us at church, would we pray? And we made it a matter of prayer. A little while later, 2 weeks or whatever it was, a week, they called us again and said, I just want you to know that the Lord answered your prayer. He's given us about 200 chickens. They said, you know what, next time when we pray to the Lord, we should ask Him to have them cleaned, have them already cleaned. I mean, they were still alive. They had to clean them and all that that goes with it. It reminds me of this little boy, peeled orange. And God is reminding us, as we dish it out, it'll be just back to us. Come and let us worship. And bow down. Let us kneel in front of the Lord our Maker, because He is our God, and we are His people, and He cares for us. He watches over us. If you only listen to Him today, now listen to what He says next. Do not be stubborn like the people were at a time in Israel's history. Do not be stubborn as they were in the desert. The outward look is going to cause us to recognize all the blessings of the Lord has given to each one of us. That He's our Maker, we are His creation, He is our God, we are His people, we are the sheep, He is the shepherd. I love it. Psalm, one other place in Psalms, God said this, do not forget all of His benefits that He has given to you. We must consider all that God has added to our life. because of our relationship with God and because of his relationship to us. This is not thinking on the material benefits of our life, but I want us to think about those spiritual benefits of our life. By the way, you know what they did in those days that he's talking about? If only we would listen to him. Today, he invites us to bow down before him, and he says, don't do like they did. In days gone by, the nation of Israel in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts before him. And unfortunately, folks, this incident that he's talking about was typical of the nation of Israel in that wilderness wandering. They were stubborn people. Moses informed them this was typical of their stubbornness and rebellion against God. That's the way they were treating God. The amazing thing that I like about this is sometimes they complained and found fault, and God gave them water. He had given them water different times as they were there in that desert land in abundance. But they're complaining against him. And you know what? Even amongst all their grumbling and all of their rebellion, in spite of that, God still blessed them, even though they were testing him. They were abundantly provided for them. He took care of them, even when they didn't appreciate it. How much more do you think God would love it if you and I were to show a little appreciation to him? As we kneel down before him, we need to hear him say to us, don't be stubborn like my people did in days of old. Don't do that. The lesson for us is that God will not be pleased as he was not pleased with them. He provided for them, but he surely was not pleased with them because of what they had done and the way they had acted and the way they had responded. And you know what he's telling us now? He's telling us that the idea is God doesn't want us to do that. May I share just the next couple moments something that has really been upon my heart and mind? I don't know how we as Christians or how we as people living in God's world can think we can treat God in a mean way, say bad things about him, think bad thoughts about him. I think what is missing is we need to kneel down. We need to kneel down before him and recognize God is God. He's God Almighty. One place he said he's a consuming fire. Another place he said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Something has happened to cause us to lower God to our place rather than us having him high and lifted up. We need to realize God deserves to be high and lifted up. And I don't believe you will be near as thankful as you could be if you got God on a plateau with you. We got to get back to this idea that he is high and lifted up and he's holy. And we got to get back to this idea that we need to have some reverence for him. Somebody said they're going to do this to God, or that if God didn't answer, then this is what they were going to do. I got to tell you, folks, I think we need to pause and consider that this great God Almighty doesn't have to do a thing for us. And yet he loved us so much that he is willing to send us his Son. And greater love, the scripture says, can no man show than the love of Jesus that he had for us when he was willing to go to that cross of Calvary. I'm reminded that I want to keep God on that pedestal high and lifted, because then that humbles me before him and causes me to realize he is worthy. By the way, there's a word that I want us to kind of end our message with this morning. And that word is one that you don't hear a lot today, but that word is one that I see a lot today. He said in one other places when he's talking about this hard heart, he said, you know what? The people became stiff-necked. Their neck was stiff. I found a picture of a little boy that's disappointed about something that hasn't went the way he wanted to go in his life. And he's got both fingers in his ears, finger in each ear. And he's got the sternest look on his face. And he's crouched down in a mean position, so to speak. And all I could think of was, he's stiff-necked. He's stiff-necked. Ah, dear people, don't be stiff-necked with God. This week, think of some things to thank him for in your family. Think of some things to thank him for in your physical health. Think of some things to thank him for his financial blessing in your life. Think of some things to thank him for the spiritual blessings in your life. Think of the things to thank him for, of this promise of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, we got so much that we shouldn't be bad-mouthing God. We simply should be bowing down before him and recognizing that he is God and recognizing that his blessing upon our life has added so much more to our life than we realize. And then this is what we can do. We can only realize how much more he loves us, how much more he cares for us. God bless you. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
God clothes the lilies of the field in garments fit for royalty. He keeps his eye upon the sparrow, lest they should fall. All of creation sings his praise. The moon and stars in unison raise a joyful song unto the God who made it all. But do you know how much more he cares for you? Do you know how much more he's willing to do? For the least of them who call upon the Lord, there is no limit to his power. He'll rescue you in your darkest hour. Do you know that it's true? Do you know he loves you? Do you know how much more? Love of friends and family dims in the light of Calvary's cross, for there a price was paid that we could not afford. He could have left us lost and alone, but mercy made him leave heaven's throne. He answered our call, he gave his all, and so much more. But do you know how much more he cares for you? Do you know how much